Well, I know I preached last night, so I ask you for your patience. But the Lord put another thought on my heart, and I'd like to bring it out by His help. Please pray for us this evening. I'd like to write a thought on the board, and hopefully I won't dispel any words this time, but I've written the thief. I'd like to go to John, the 10th chapter, in the 10th verse. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." I so appreciate the plan that God has for us. I appreciate the plan of salvation. And salvation is not just a theoretical something or other. It works. It's something that it's got some practicality to it. It brings function where there's dysfunction. It brings order where there's chaos. It brings peace where there's strife. In everywhere that the gospel has been, it has made lives better. Countries that have, if you look at, I've done a little reading about Great Britain, and you know, Great Britain had a great number of missionaries back in the 1800s and in the 1700s. And I believe it was in part through what they call the Great Awakening that they had back then, but it was also through the influence. They had a queen. Her name was Victoria. She became queen, I think, in around 1835 or so. And she reigned until 1902, but she wanted good. And so there were a lot of missionaries. David Livingstone and a lot of the different missionaries came from there, and there was a great influence all over the world that came from England. England was for a long time regarded as a highly Christian nation, and even today they're not really what you would call a Christian nation anymore, but they are still reaping the benefits. Salvation brings things that are practical, where even when people stop following all of the tenets of the gospel, there's something that just follows, and people's lives are better, and cultures are improved, and education is better, and everything. And so that's what Jesus, He came to bring. He came to bring abundant life in many different ways. Of course, we know that the greatest way, it's even greater than some of the miracles that the disciples were doing. He said, greater things than these shall you do. I know that raising the dead, that's a big deal. But you know that there is something that's even greater than that. A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. I've been awakened from the dead, and now I live with Christ instead. And my heart resonates with Uncle Steve's as he was telling about how he was lost. And the Lord came and spoke peace to his heart and met him at that altar. And so my hope and my prayer for every one of you tonight is that you can have that same experience. If you're not there, if you don't know the Lord, there's something waiting for you. I can't give it to you, but the Lord can. So Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And I'd like to, my thoughts this evening are running in more of a negative vein. But it's in love, and it's a warning. Would you listen? I've got some thoughts to express to you about somebody that's been around for a long time. Somebody that hates your soul. Somebody that doesn't have any good in him. Somebody that doesn't have any truth. He's been a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And any interaction he has with you, there's no good purpose to it. He's not there to make your life better. He's not there to improve situations. He's not there to help you make better business deals unless it's to accomplish your final ruin. He's not there to bring health where there's been sickness. He's there in every instance to bring death and destruction and to worsen. I believe that every one of us has, if you'll give me the liberty, I believe that the Lord has a certain level, a hedge around every one of us. Because if there weren't, the devil would annihilate us in a second. But the Lord has the hedge, and that hedge goes up and down and is at different heights, and it depends on us, on what we allow into our lives and how much we allow the influence of the Lord and how much we allow the influence of the devil. But I'd like to tell you about a dream that I had a few years ago. I was going through kind of a rather a dull place, dry place in my life. And haven't we all had those? And one night I had a dream. In my dream, I was driving my car on my property. We've got some woods on our property, and we have some things that are piled in a few places. And in my dream, I was riding. I think my wife was with me, and I looked over, and there's a man just calmly going through my things. And I said, look at that. It's right in the middle of the day. He doesn't have any right. This is my stuff. This is my property. He doesn't have any right to be going through my stuff. I'm going to go. I'm going to tell him to get out of here. I'm going to tell him he has no business here. And so I just drove the vehicle over there. And he saw me coming. And in my dream, he immediately laid down whatever he had and he ran with all speed to my vehicle. And it was so fast and so sudden, I didn't have time to react. In my dream, I was so startled. And he ran. And it was then that it hit me how unprepared I was. My window was down. It was all the way down. It was an electric window. Can't roll it up real fast. My door wasn't locked. And I was there completely helpless. But I had in my mind, I'm going to go and I'm going to have the mastery over this person. And he got to my door and just reached forward and jerked open the door, and here I am. And I'm in my seat, he's standing up, and then it was then I realized he had a club in his hand. A big one. And I couldn't do one thing. And he swung at me. All the thought about, you're stealing my stuff, get out of here, all that was gone. No opportunity to do that. He swung at me and he kind of missed. And I think it kind of clipped me a little bit. But he raised his club again. And I thought, if he hits me with that thing, I'm out. I'm gone. And it was then I woke up. And when I woke up, immediately, the song number 302 in our songbook started going through my mind. And I'm going to read you the lyrics. My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise, and hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. O watch and fight and pray. The battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day, and help divine implore. Never think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast got the crown. Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He'll take thee at thy parting breath up to his blessed abode. I know that there are a lot of people here this evening that have been saved a long time. Do you know the most spiritual person in this building? By yourself, you are no match for the devil. You don't have your natural strength, your wits, your experience, the scriptures you may know, the logic you may have, doesn't even compare with what the devil can do. He's powerful. You're no match for him on your own. I thought about the scripture that says it, and I believe we read it this morning. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth. This is 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Much of the Christian world teaches that you cannot fall from grace. Much of the Christian world teaches that once you give your heart to the Lord and you're truly saved, that you're saved from all eternity and that there's no way you could possibly be plucked out of the Father's hand. I know what the Scripture says. There's a Scripture that talks about that. You know, I partly agree. You can't just have... There is nobody that can walk up to you and take your salvation unless you let it. There is no offense great enough. There is no temptation strong enough. There is no sorrow heavy enough. There is nothing, as long as we keep a relationship and maintain a relationship with the Lord, you do not have to worry about losing your salvation. We don't lose our salvation. We can throw it away, though. We can lose it by neglect. There are many different ways that you can say, somebody, I lost. I lost my salvation. And that's an awful place to be in. I think about the song that in our book that says, stand by the cross like a soldier strong, fearlessly face the foe. You know, that was written by D.O. Teasley. He wrote over 30 songs in our book. Powerful, moving songs. We still sing them today. He got in a situation where he got, I don't know, he got very busy. He got overcharged. I don't know the full story, but the devil was able to steal from that man. Some of the most moving songs, I believe, was it number 383, Drifting Away from Jesus? Don't you, and I think when I, number 409, Eternity? I think when I can't help, but when I see those songs, I can't help but thinking there was something personal, a personal warning in the inspiration of those songs. We still enjoy those songs today. But the writer of those songs, he got to the place where the devil was able to lure him into a great personal failure in his life. I believe the Lord had forgiveness for him, but he didn't. As far as I know, he never repented, never made it right. One of the saddest stories that I know of, and it was because the thief came to steal. I'd like to talk a little bit about the thief tonight. Romans 14, 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Those are the things, among others, but those are the principal things that the devil would like to steal from us. Turn with me to Colossians, the third chapter. And if you'll bear with me, I'd like to go ahead and read most of that chapter. "If ye then be risen with Christ," Colossians 3 and 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." I believe that when we set our affections on things above, that can very properly mean that we have our eyes toward heaven. We want to go to heaven. We want to be there with God. But there are other things. I don't believe that this verse is limited to that. There are other things that we need to set our affections on. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink," but what? "It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." You know that those things are treasures. They're things that have a value to them. They're things that that accomplish good purposes in our lives. They're things that save us from a world of heartache. They're gifts. They're not just things. It's not even really, I don't even want to tell somebody you've got to have righteousness in your life. You've got to have peace. These are perks of salvation. It's the gift of God. It's righteousness. It's the antidote to the curse of sin. It's the antidote to the leprosy that was always representing sin in the Bible. Sin was never represented. I know I've said this before, so bear with me, but sin is never represented in the Bible as being a viable alternative, a way to live your life that's still functional, but just not the way God wants you to live. Sin is represented as a vile, loathsome disease, a curse. It makes your leprosy, it makes your fingers and your toes fall off. Literal leprosy does. Sin will rob you of the functionality and the joy and the happiness and the things, the good things of life. It'll rob you of your family. It will rob you of the relationships that the Lord meant for you to have. It'll rob you of joy. It'll rob you of any kind of meaningful, the way that we look around at creation and the things, that the appreciation that we have and the relationship that we have with God. It robs you of all that. Sin separates us from God. Peace and joy are gifts from God. They're things that I don't know of any replacement for them. Can you tell me of any viable replacement to peace and joy? What do you do? I don't know how people that don't know the Lord make it. You hear on the news all of these things. What do you think? I mean, we're concerned. We're concerned for the people over there in the Middle East and for the people over there in Ukraine. We pray for them. But what do you think the people that are over there, right there in the middle of it, what do you think they feel like? I'm guessing that there are God's children over there that are caught rotten right in the crossfire. And I pray for those people. You know, the Lord's peace and joy can help somebody right there in the middle of those kind of situations. I think of the different times, the different ways that people have been oppressed, terrible home situations, things like that. This is the benefit of the gospel. These are the things, the righteousness, the peace, and the joy. I believe that when it says set your affections on things above, part of the meaning of this verse, maybe even the principal part of it, is You need to lay hold on these things in your life and not let them go, because there's a thief. There's a thief that wants to steal those things from you. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do you see a picture that's being drawn here? The Lord is holding out a package. This is part of salvation. These are the things that the Lord has for us. How easy is it to forgive somebody? It's not easy at all, is it? Might depend a little bit on your personality, but I'll just tell you, from my personality, it's not easy. It's not easy to forgive. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that can enable me to love someone that doesn't love me at all. Thank God for the ability to go and be able to minister to somebody, the very person that may have hurt me, and be able to take words of life to them. Thank God for the peace that He gives us in our heart. He's presenting this as a package. And He's saying, put this on. Set your affections on these things. I don't think He's just talking about heaven here. Set your affections on things above. Why did He say it like that? Because all of those things come from above. Forgiveness comes from above. Love, charity comes from above. Humbleness of mind, meekness, mercy, kindness, those all come from above. Set your affections on things above. Another way to word that is hold it tight. Hold it against your heart. Don't let the devil steal any of it. It says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know something's going to rule in your heart? Something is going to rule in your heart. And I have let, in times past, all manner of things rule in my heart. And I can tell you that letting the peace of God rule in my heart is amazing. It's wonderful. Something that cannot be compared to. Nothing can be compared to. Anyway, maybe go back later and study Colossians 3, because these are all of the things that the Lord gives us to keep, and they're all things that the thief wants to destroy. I'd like to talk to you about a few things this evening. I don't know how many specifics I'm going to name, because they can be different for everybody. But the devil wants to steal from you tonight. If you've been saved for a long time, the devil wants to steal from you. If you just got saved, the devil wants to come and snatch away everything that you've just been given. Beware of the offerings of the world. I've been thinking, The devil has a lot of... He's a thief, all right? And he has all different kinds of packages that he wants to send your way. And they don't look at all like it's something that the devil's trying to steal from you. They don't look like it's some, they don't look like anything that has any kind of malicious intent. Kind of like, almost like a virus that you can get on your computer, and you get an email and it looks harmless, and you open it and there's something in there. There's an element in there that starts spreading and does harm. The devil does the same thing. You know, I want to talk about this for just a minute, and if you'll bear with me. There are elements in the music of this world that the devil will use to steal things from you. There are elements, I just want to tell you, in the fear of God this evening, I don't want to sideswipe it. If you want to come and talk to me about the specifics later, I'll be happy to do that with you. But there are so many things that we can get wrapped up in. There are so many things that can take our time and attention and that we can devote our effort to. I just want to tell you, if you get wrapped up in the things, I'll pick one, all right? Don't. If you get wrapped up in the sports industry, there are things that the devil wants to steal from you out of that. All right? If you get right there, there are things in the takeaway here. I'm not going to lay down. I can't do it. I'm not going to lay down a set of do's and don'ts. You can do this, but you can't do this. But there are elements in the clothes that are being sold. There are things that are designed. When we take those and we say, I think that's okay. I'm going to do that. There are things that the devil uses as a Trojan horse that he will use to steal from us. I think about in my line of work, one of the most important tools in my box is a little bar. It's about 10 inches long. And it's just got a really, really fine point on the end of it. And I've got a cabinet here that's sitting too low, but it's got to be higher. And it's sitting on the ground, and I'm not strong enough sometimes to lift it up, don't have the leverage. But I'll come, and I'll have three tools in my hand. I'll have this little flat bar that's got the flat end on it, and then it's got an end that you can hammer on. We call it a wonder bar, pry bar, different things. What it is a very fine wedge. And I'll come with three things. I'll come with that little bar. I'll come with a shim or two, a wood shim, which is wedge shaped, and a hammer. And I'll take that bar and I'll start hammering it in a place where there's just a little fine crack. You know what that crack is to me? It's an opportunity. And I don't have any other way to raise that cabinet sometimes. And I'll get that and I'll start hammering it in there. My purpose, my ultimate purpose is not to get the bar in there. I'm going to take the bar right back out and I'm going to use it somewhere else. I'm not going to leave the bar there for the customer to trip over. I don't care about the bar being there. I care about getting the cabinet to move. You know, the devil has, he's a thief. The devil is going to use things over and over to try to get you to move in one way or another. He will try to get you to fall from your steadfastness. He will do it with intangible things like bitternesses and grudges. And he'll come and whisper in your ear, you know, that just wasn't right what they did to you. You know, you really have a right to feel a little pained about that. That kind of stings, doesn't it? And you get to thinking about that. Be careful. The devil wants to steal from you. There will be tangible things that the devil will use. There are, and I don't want to go into great detail. It's not my purpose this evening. But think about the clothing and the fashion industry. There are clothes that are manufactured with different purposes baked into them. Different goals that are to be accomplished. I want to attract attention here. I want to have this persona about me. I want to do that. There's goals that are in those things. May I just caution you, by in the fear of the Lord, that the devil wants to steal from you? When you go to outfit your wardrobe, ask the Lord how He wants you to do it. Take advice. Listen to advice from those that are older, that are more experienced. You know, there are things, I just briefly mentioned the sports industry. It's like this with a lot of different things in the world, but there's a lot of idolatry that goes on in many of the different, if you want, sports, music, all of those industries. It is so easy to get caught up to where we have so much admiration for a particular individual or a particular team, and we've got our affections set, and it takes up a lot of our time. May I just tell you that the Lord wants us to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. If you find that those things, whatever it is, if they're starting to rob from you, maybe it's time to take a look at them and say, do I really want this in my life? Do I really want this to take up my time? There are perfectly wholesome things that can do the same thing if you let it. I like to fish. I'm not very good at it, but I like to go fishing. Did you know that I could give myself to fishing, and I could have every lure out there, and I could have a nice boat and all of that? And you know, I don't believe that the Lord has any problem with me going and throwing a hook in the water. But it's what we give ourselves to, and the thing, you know, the devil can steal from you if you give yourself over to those things. May the Lord help us. Set our affections on things above. There are things, I want to tell you, that I have heard people preach and about what we watch and the entertainment, and I've heard a lot about the TV and the destructiveness of it. But I want to tell you something. See this little thing right here? That'll do a lot more damage than the TV ever did. And it's right there in your hand. The Lord wants you. The Lord wants you to have those, if you have something like that, to consecrate the use of it. Lord, how can I use this to your glory? Lord, help me to not be on it for too much time. No matter what I'm doing, this thing is the biggest, it can be the biggest time hog that you've ever seen. Get it up. I'm not going to tell you, don't, whatever. Get on Facebook or whatever, and 2 minutes later, so you think, you look, and a half hour's gone around the clock. There are things that the Lord wants out of us. He wants us to glorify Him in our lives. He wants us to take time and spend with Him. He wants us to take time and read His Word and study. He doesn't want us to waste our time. And so we have to guard against the things that it's easy for us to waste our time. There are things that are so dangerous on those devices. There are things that may the Lord help you if you're caught up in something like that. It's not a shame to ditch it and get a flip phone or something like that for a while the Lord helps you to get the victory over those things. Companies like Hollywood and Disney are not out for your spiritual well-being. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. There are many things, and I'm just mentioning a few of them, but really, my point is tonight that there are many things that the devil is going to put in your hand. And he's going to say, bring this into your home, allow this into your mind, it's okay. And once you start unwrapping it, it may be years and years before you ever even realize that there's damage being done. May the Lord give us wisdom and discernment. The devil wants to steal from us. He wants to steal peace and joy from us. He wants to steal righteousness from us. He wants to suck our time away where there's no time to give to Him, to read His Word, to seek His face. He wants to give us junk food, so to speak, spiritual junk food, where it takes away our appetite for the good things. I'm speaking, I don't usually bring up all these things. But young people, can I give you a caution this evening? There are things that are hard to see the damage in. And I thank the Lord for godly mentors. I had, my Uncle Philip was such a wonderful mentor to me. And I had others. And he would say, this will steal from you. I'm just warning you, don't do this. This will steal from you. And I had no idea. I didn't have the understanding of why it would steal from you. And some of that I've learned in later years. Oh yeah, it's because of this and that. There are people that have been down the road longer. You know that there are things that I've heard cautioned against and things like that. And I am not at all saying that we need, nobody's infallible. But there is godly counsel. I so appreciate those that have gone before me that had successful, victorious lives. You know what it makes me do when I see somebody that has a victorious life? I recognize the devil hasn't been able to steal from them. So what can I do? What can I implement in my life where the devil will not steal from me too? I want to look long and hard. If this person that's been around a long time says, you know, I really feel a caution about this thing right here, don't just throw it to the wind. Consider it very prayerfully. There are things that you might not know until you're a lot older. The devil cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I think of another scripture that said, beware lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The devil, when he steals from you, it's not just you. There are people coming along. Every one of you, whether you may not even have a family, I have 5 children, you might not have any. There are people in your circle of influence that if the devil steals from you, there will be things stolen from them too. There are people coming along. If you're a parent this evening, I want to tell you that the devil is bidding very high for your children. The devil has all kinds of tricks and toys and tools that he has at his disposal today. A lot of them are through technology. The phones and what they're capable of, it just blows my mind. And I beg the Lord, in my own life, I beg the Lord, Lord, help me to protect my children and yet raise them to where when they're old enough that they can say no to temptations themselves, because I'm not always going to be there. They're going to be their own people. But Lord, how can I protect them? How can I introduce them to the Lord doesn't want us to just go hide back in a hole and hide from technology and all of those things. There are many good benefits to it. But may the Lord help us to use it in a way that glorifies Him, to guard against the wiles of the devil. To know what kind of boundaries and fences. You're going to need to build some fences in your homes today. You're going to need to set some boundaries for your children, for yourselves. You're going to need to sit back and say, okay, what is the purpose of what I'm doing? What is it? Is it taking something from me? I don't know. May the Lord help us. You pray for me. I wanted to talk to you about the thief. The Lord came to give us life. Everything that you've got, if you're saved, everything that you've got, peace, joy, righteousness, victory, relationships. The devil wants to steal from you, so you have to go through life with that knowledge. Or else he'll steal a lot from you. My soul, be on thy guard. Will you give me just a few more minutes? I want to talk to you about the dream again that I had. In my dream, I thought I was prepared. I thought that I had it under control. And I thought that I would be able to go and just shoo the guy off my property. Just get on out of here. You don't have any right to my stuff. I didn't realize that I had the window down. I didn't realize that I didn't have the door locked. I didn't have any kind of a weapon in my hand, and he had a weapon in his hand. If we go about our lives and say, I'm smart enough, I don't think none of this is going to happen to me. You're going to fail so miserably. You need to, families, if you have children, fall on your faces before the Lord regularly and say, Lord, help me to know how to combat the devil in my family. Ask Him, Lord, what kind of boundaries do I need to set? Lord, what kind of content do I need to let in my home? Lord, what kind of places do you want us to go to and not go to? Lord, what do you want me to wear? Lord, what mannerisms do you want? What kind of things do you want me to adopt in my mannerisms? Things like body language and all of that. Do you know that the devil has packages to give us that look good? And he has things in there that will sting and steal. I don't know what's in your life. I don't know what the Lord's been dealing with you about, but if we take the approach that I've got it, I've got this, the devil will come and he'll rob and he'll steal. Seek the Lord. Seek His face. Seek godly counsel from others that have been successful. Don't go about it with the approach of I've got the world by the tail, so to speak. I've got this. We can be confident in the Lord. But you need to stay connected in the Lord. Seek His face every day. This is the key to it all. And ask Him to help you to know how to not let the devil steal from you. The Lord wants us to be rich in the things of God. You pray for me.